Gracious Father, we thank you this morning for all the wonderful music that you've given us to sing. Lord, we thank you so much that you are a God worthy of joyous songs to be sung to, that you are great, you are greatly to be praised, and that you are good. We thank you as well for your word as we've heard it read so many times this morning. We thank you for that storyline of Scripture. And we pray this morning as we seek to understand a little bit more about what you have done for us in Jesus, that you would help us to understand. We pray that you would work in our hearts and our minds here this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, thank you all again for being here this morning to share with us in this celebration of lessons and carols. As I said at the beginning, this is one of our favorite gatherings of the year. We love the music, we love the readings, and we really do love being able to share it with others. So if someone invited you to come along this morning, thanks for accepting that invitation, and thanks for being with us today. I know it's a full season for just about everybody. Lots of planning, lots of parties, and of course, lots of shopping to be done. And if you're anything like me, lots of agonizing about what exactly to shop for and where to shop for it. I grew up in a home where the giving and receiving of gifts was a very big thing at Christmas. Always felt like there was a lot of pressure to find just that right gift to give to everyone in the home. My mom, she would sort of shop all year long and hide the presents away throughout the course of the year, and then in December try to remember where she put everything and to go search for it around the house to wrap it up and put it under the tree for us. In hindsight, we probably had too many gifts, a little bit spoiled perhaps, my sisters and I, but it sure made for a fun Christmas morning as we'd sit around and unwrap all the gifts that our parents had got for us. And perhaps for you, as you look back on your life and you think about this tradition of giving and receiving gifts, perhaps you can think of some of the gifts that you have received over the years. Maybe some of the best gifts that you've ever received at Christmas. Maybe some of the most memorable gifts that you've ever received at Christmas. Maybe even some of the strangest gifts that you've ever received at Christmas. This morning, though, what I want to do is I want to reflect with you on what I'm going to propose to you is the most important gift that any of us could ever receive. And thus, it's one which I hope all of us will receive and all of us will unwrap and enjoy this Christmas. And so to show you what that gift is, I want to invite you to look with me at just one sentence from the Bible here today, which is that sentence that's printed there on page 18 of your bulletin. So if you would, look with me on page 18. This is one of the most famous of all the sentences in the Bible, John 3:16, which reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Let me read that again. It's very famous. Probably most of us have heard that at some point or other in our lives. But sometimes when things are so well known, we can sometimes miss the real impact of what's being said. So do listen to it carefully, because here is the most important Christmas gift ever. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And so we have here with this one sentence, just like we do with any Christmas gift that may be given this time of year, we have the giver of the gift, we have the recipient of the gift, we have the gift itself and what it is, we have the reason for the gift, and then of course, after all that, there's the all-important response to the gift. Okay, so who's the giver of this Christmas gift that's so important? Well, the answer to that is easy. It's God. God is the giver, for God so loved the world that he gave. And so right away, we learn here something wonderful about God, and that he's a God who loves. God is loving. In fact, John tells us elsewhere that God is love. That's how much love defines who and what God is like. God himself is the very definition of love. Love is essential to the nature of God. And so right off the bat here, we learn that this isn't some reluctant giver who's only giving something because he feels obligated to do so. Like, let's just be honest, sometimes we do. Sometimes we feel obligated to give a gift, and so we give it out of obligation, but that's not the case here. No, the motivation of this giver in giving his gift is love. And therefore, to be the recipient of this gift, that would be quite a special thing. And so who is the recipient of this gift from such a loving giver? Well, perhaps surprisingly, the answer is the world. For God so loved the world that he gave. Now, I think that's quite an amazing statement. And in part because so often, you know, when we think of the giving of gifts, we tend to think of the categories of naughty or nice. And that only those who fall into the nice category get gifts. And yet when we think of the world, I mean, no doubt we could think of, you know, some quite lovely and good things in the world. But of course, we could also come up with quite a long list of some not so lovely things about the world. And even if you just look back over this past year, you could come up with, well, quite a naughty list for the year 2025. You know, for example, the several ongoing wars this past year would certainly be on many people's list of not so lovely things in this world. Ukraine, Russia, Sudan, Israel, Gaza. In fact, I spoke last month with a Ukrainian Christian man who now lives in the U.S. He spent much of the past year going back and forth to Ukraine to help with some humanitarian needs that have resulted from the ongoing war there. And it was painful to hear him speak of the trauma that so many people have experienced as a result of the ongoing war. We might also think of the food crisis in Gaza this past year, or the devastation caused through the human-initiated wildfires in California at the beginning of the year. Or how about the relentless kind of gang violence in Haiti this year? Or the high-profile shootings that have taken place this past year, including just yesterday up at Brown University, or the news that maybe we all woke up to this morning of an attack in Australia. And then, of course, there's the murders right here in our own city. There are the economic hardships, the political scandals. And you put all of that together, right, all that trauma and all of that pain and all of that suffering and all of that evil, and even just a very small list like that, I mean, frankly, the world doesn't actually look like a very lovely place much of the time. It instead looks much more like a world that's in rebellion against its maker, and thus a world that belongs much more on that so-called naughty list. And friends, here's the thing. If you and I look honestly into our own hearts, the truth is that we'll discover our hearts actually aren't all that lovely or nice either. You know, most of us have bitterness and pride and lust and hatred and selfishness and envy that's attached to so much of who we are and what it is that we do. And therefore, you see, it's not just the world out there that's in rebellion against its maker. It's also that person that's looking me back in the mirror. I too have daily rebelled against and rejected the God who created me. But you see, that's exactly what makes the statement about the recipient of God's gift of love so amazing. Because despite all that unloveliness, it's this very God who's been rejected by the world who has nonetheless so loved the world that he gave. So what exactly did he give? Right, what is God's gift of love to this unlovely world? Well, amazingly, it's a gift that many of us would rightly consider to be priceless. It's the gift of his only Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. The only Son referred to there is Jesus. In this book that John wrote here, he makes some very staggering claims about the identity of Jesus. So, for example, we heard it read this morning back in John chapter 1. John described Jesus as the Word. That is, he's the one who reveals who God really is and what God is really like. But then John also described Jesus not just as the one who reveals God, so he's not just some prophet, but he's the one who is God, who's come into this world. And so what the Bible teaches is that there's only one God, but this one God exists in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so what John 3:16 is saying then is that God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only Son, God the Son. That's why at Christmas, Christians find themselves just kind of overawed at what it is that we're celebrating. Because that baby in the manger isn't just any baby. That baby, though fully human, is also God the Son. And his birth took place at a specific location and moment in history. God, the only Son, was given to this world, born to real people, Mary and Joseph, in the historical town of Bethlehem. And so he was a real baby with real flesh and blood, and he grew up to be a real man who died on a very real cross. And therefore, this gift of love that God has given to an unlovely world is indeed a priceless gift. God the Father gave his only Son, God the Son, to us. Now, maybe you've given some very generous gifts in your life. But this is probably the most generous gift you could ever give. I have to admit that some years I actually run out of time to get the people in my family a gift. I don't know if that ever happens to you. And so I'm doing that, you know, that last minute Christmas Eve rush thing, scouring the stores, trying to find anything, like literally anything that might at least seem like it was sort of, kind of, maybe a thoughtful gift. But that's not what this is. It's not what we're reading here in John 3:16. No, this gift of God's only Son, this isn't some last-minute gift. It's not some stocking stuffer. It's not some $10 meaningless white elephant gift that you're going to have to give at least once or twice this year. No, this is a priceless gift that reveals just how loving God really is. And in fact, it's not just the priceless value of the gift that shows off the love of God. It's also the reason why the gift was given in the first place. Right? Why would a loving God give to an unlovely world such a lovely, valuable gift? Well, friends, the reason behind such a gift is expressed in that last clause there of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, I'm happy to say that I've actually done some of my Christmas shopping already, so I'm trying to avoid this year that last-minute Christmas Eve rush thing. But as I reflect on the gifts that I've already bought and the gifts that I plan to buy, and some of them are really good. So if you live in my home, I'm excited for some of the gifts that we're going to be giving this year. But here's the thing. As good as some of them are, none of them are really life and death matters. None of them are actually all that important. Maybe some of them will be useful in a little bit of a way, but they're not really all that important. And yet, you see, that's exactly what's at stake here with this gift that God has given to the world. It's about life and death. It's about perishing or having eternal life. And friends, the reason that's the case is because when we talk about the world being unlovely, and when we talk about our own hearts being unlovely, and when we talk about rebellion against our Maker, what we're really talking about is sin. And the Bible's so very clear what sin deserves, and that's death. In fact, the Bible puts it like this in Romans 6, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if you think, how can that be? You know, how can the gift of this only Son be the difference between perishing for eternity or living for eternity? And the answer is because in love, God didn't give his only Son simply to be born. He also gave his only Son to die. Because Christmas is about far more than just the wonder of God the Son taking on the human flesh of a baby. It's also about that baby growing up and living a sinless and perfect life, but then going to the cross and receiving all of the sin and all of the rebellion that people like you and me have committed, and then dying in our place for our sin, thereby receiving the punishment of God that we deserve for that sin. And so, friends, what John 3:16 is telling us is that without that gift of God's only Son, it's telling us a hard truth this morning. It's telling us that we will perish for eternity, that we'll waste away in our sin for eternity under the judgment of God. But it's also telling us a glorious truth that if we receive this gift of the only Son, we'll have eternal life. And that eternal life, it's about both the quantity of life and the quality of life. We'll have true, lasting, abundant life, a life forever marked by beauty and goodness. And therefore, the critical final point we need to consider this morning is this. How do we receive this gift of the only Son? And what John 3:16 tells us is that we receive this gift by believing. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And friends, in one sense, it's really that simple. This extraordinary gift of love from the God of love to a world that's quite unlovely much of the time is offered, as it says here, to whoever. And it can be received by whoever. And all you have to do is believe in Jesus, the only Son of God, which means acknowledging who Jesus is. It means trusting that Jesus is the only one who can save you. And so it means acknowledging your sin and that you therefore need him to save you from the judgment of God you deserve. And thus to truly believe in him means you put all of your hope and all of your trust in him, such that belief then begins to shape your whole life. And so you're no longer motivated by the same things you once were. You no longer do some of the same things you once did. Because this belief in Jesus is so comprehensive that it ultimately changes your whole life. And so, friend, I'd love for you to do that today. Again, it's a gift, like a child on Christmas morning receiving the gifts of love that their parents have freely given them. They receive them, they enjoy them as gifts. Well, friends, this is a gift that can't be earned. It's not deserved. You don't have to reimburse God for this gift in any way. It's for whoever in this world will receive it by believing in Jesus, the only Son of God. You know, it's reported that adults in the United States are expected, at least according to one stat I saw, to collectively spend something like $242 billion on Christmas gifts this year. I know I had to do a second take on that. Is that really $1 billion? And then nearly $311 billion on flights and hotels over the holiday season so they can then go and give all the gifts that they've bought. One stat also noted that the estimated average person for gifts is over $1,100, which is something like $183 higher than the average last year, which itself is kind of surprising because according to one survey of the 2024 holiday shoppers who use credit cards, 31% still haven't paid off the balances from all the gifts that they bought last year. And so what it all means, I guess, is that there are a lot of gifts out there. And there's lots of money being spent on Christmas gifts. But friends, of all the money that'll be spent this year, and of all the gifts that will be given, there's no more important gift than this gift that's right here in John 3:16. Because this is the extraordinary message of Christmas. It's that the God of love has loved a very unlovely world by giving the greatest gift of love possible, his very own Son. So that if we believe in him, we'll be forgiven of all our sin and therefore have the sure hope of eternal life with this very God who has so loved us. But just like any gift that you may be given this year, you have to unwrap the gift. You have to receive what's being offered to you. You know, maybe you already have some gifts under your tree so far this year. If you do, very likely have some of those gifts. On those gifts will be, you know, those tags that say to your name, you know, from the name of someone who loves you, who's given you the gift. And at some point, I trust you're going to open those gifts under your tree, right? Because it would be foolish not to. It might even be insulting to the person who gave it to you not to open the gift they've given you. Well, friend, I urge you not to do that with this gift. If you will receive it, this most important gift of love is to you from the God who loves you. And so, friend, I urge you to please unwrap and enjoy this gift by believing in Jesus, the only Son of God. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for your love. And we thank you for Jesus. And would you help us to believe that he is the Savior of the world? And would you help us to turn away from our sin? And would you help us to put our trust in him? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.